sleep at night. And I will not hesitate to use force to protect the American people or our vital interests. But as we protect America, our men and women in uniform must always be treated as what they are, America's most precious resource. As Commander-in-Chief, I have a solemn responsibility for their safety. And there's nothing more sobering than signing a letter of condolence to the family of servicemen or women who have given their lives for our country. And that's why I've made this pledge to our armed forces. I will only send you into harm's way when it is absolutely necessary. And when I do, it will be based on good intelligence and guided by a sound strategy. I will give you a clear mission, defined goals, and the equipment and support you need to get the job done. That's my commitment to you. Which brings me to our second responsibility to our armed forces, giving them the resources and equipment and strategies to meet their missions. We need to keep our military the best trained, the best led, the best equipped fighting force in the world. And that's why, even with our current economic challenges, my budget increases defense spending. We will ensure that we have the force structure to meet today's missions. And that's why we've increased the size of the Army and the Marine Corps 2 years ahead of schedule and have approved another temporary increase in the Army. And we've halted personnel reductions in the Navy and Air Force. And this will give our troops more time home between deployments, which means less stress on families and more training for the next mission. And it will help us put an end once and for all to stop loss for those who've done their duty. We will equip our forces with the assets and technologies they need to fight and win. So my budget funds more of the Army helicopters, crews, and pilots urgently needed in Afghanistan. The intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance that gives our troops the advantage. The special operations forces that can deploy on a moment's notice. And for all those serving in Afghanistan and Iraq, including our National Guard and Reserve, more of the protective gear and armored vehicles that save lives. Now, as we fight in two wars, we will plan responsibly, budget honestly, and speak candidly about the costs and consequences of our actions. And that's why I've made sure my budget includes the costs of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. In Iraq, after more than 6 years, we took an important step forward in June. We transferred control of all cities and towns to Iraq's security forces. The transition to full Iraqi responsibility for their own security is now underway. This progress is a testament to all those who have served in Iraq, both uniformed and civilian. And our nation owes these Americans and all who have given their lives a profound debt of gratitude. Now, as Iraqis take control of their destiny, they will be tested and targeted. Those who seek to sow sectarian division will attempt more senseless bombings and more killing of innocents. This we know. But as we move forward, the Iraqi people must know that the United States will keep its commitments. And the American people must know that we will move forward with our strategy. We will begin removing our combat brigades from Iraq later this year. We will remove all our combat brigades by the end of next August. And we will remove all our troops from Iraq by the end of 2011. And for America, the Iraq War will end. By moving forward in Iraq, we're able to refocus on the war against Al-Qaeda and its extremist allies in Afghanistan and Pakistan. That's why I announced a new comprehensive strategy in March, a strategy that recognizes that Al-Qaeda and its allies had moved their base from the remote tribal areas to the remote tribal areas of Pakistan. And this strategy acknowledges that military power alone will not win this war, that we also need diplomacy and development and good governance. And our new strategy has a clear mission and defined goals.